الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم and welcome to Islamic Faith in Focus. I am your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class as I like to call it, is designed to present what Islam is or the Islamic faith is and what the Islamic faith is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you may practice or not practice. So far, this class has covered such topics or answered the following questions. What are the principles of Islam? How does Islam view women? What does Islam say about justice? Are Muslim terrorists? What does Islam say about racism? How can Islam help to improve the world? Helping those in need. Mercy and forgiveness. Minor signs that the day of judgment is drawing near. The character of a Muslim. And many more. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you along with paper and pencil in order to take notes. So this is going to be a great time to go and get your Quran in case you forgot to bring it to class. If you have it in your house someplace, then go right now, rush to get it and bring it back so you can follow along, because sometime I may say to you a particular verse or a particular chapter that I'm going to be reading from, and you can follow along and read. And keep in mind that the Quran was revealed in Arabic, and so you have various translations of what the Quran and the Arabic, but it doesn't, a lot of times the translation, the Spanish, the French, or whatever language that is translated into, it doesn't really capture the essence of the Quran. But they have some really rough translation of what the Quran says. So I'm giving you an opportunity to go and pick up your Quran. And if you don't have one, you can always go to the library and borrow one from the local library. And also you can order one online for free, which is on Why Islam, whyislam.org. That's whyislam.org, and they will send your Quran for free. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class can very easily answer all of the previous questions that I mentioned early on about the Islamic faith. Those new listeners, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Now, before I start talking about today's subject, I want to ask you all some questions. Those of you, of course, that are attending Islamic studies class, what have you done to improve upon the quality of life of the world around you? Have you helped someone, fed a homeless person, stood up against injustice, helped someone improve the quality of their life? Have you intervened when someone is being bullied? Have you shown empathy, caring, or compassion towards someone who is going through a hard time? If you have the power and authority to help others, have you helped others? My students, we must be bold, fearless, and not afraid of change, and not afraid of making a positive change in the world around us. One of the ways in which this world will change for the better is that each and every one of you, and including myself, do your part, or me do my part, to change the world into something positive, and that it can be better, and believe that it can be better, and don't give up on changing the world. Because if we just lay back and say others going to do it, or it's always been like that, and then accept it, then that's unacceptable within itself. So each and every one of us have, in some kind of way, we can make a difference in the world, then each and every one of us has the responsibility of doing just that, making a difference in the world. So do your part and contribute towards positive change wherever you are, because we are also online, so we may have people all over the world listening to us. And so you too can make a difference in a small way in your own community amongst the people that you are around. So make that change. So I'm going to read a verse in the Quran. I'm going to read it in Arabic, and then I'm going to have it translate. And it's going to be in chapter 3, verse 104. Again, that's chapter 3, verse 104. And it says, وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And it says in English, and let there be, arising from you a nation inviting to all that is good, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, and those will be the successful. And so this is encouraging us as Muslims, and you too who are non-Muslims, that it should be a nation or people that's going to rise up and not be afraid of enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. You want success? Then you be amongst those people that enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, and not being afraid to do so, not being afraid to stand up against what is wrong in the world, and enjoining all the good that is in the world. Now I'm going to go to chapter 16, verse 90. Again, that's chapter 16, verse 90. Where Allah commands doing justice, doing good to others, and giving to near relatives, and He forbids indecency, wickedness, and rebellion. Again, I'm going to read that. That is chapter 16, verse 90. Allah commands doing justice, doing good to others, and giving to near relatives, and He forbids indecency and also wickedness and rebellion. And He also says to us, and this is going to be in chapter 4, the 135th verse. Again, that's chapter 4, the 135th verse. And He says this, O believers, stand firm for justice and bear true witness for the sake of Allah, even though it be against yourselves, your parents, or your relatives. It does not matter whether the party is rich or poor, to the end of this particular verse. I'm going to read this one again. This is very important, because a lot of times I don't see this occurring within most societies. And that's chapter 4, the 135th verse. And it says, O believers, stand firm for justice and bear true witness for the sake of Allah, even though it be against yourselves, your parents, your relatives. It does not matter whether the party is rich or poor. And we know for ourselves, in most society, the rich get away with do whatever they want. And they get away with being unjust towards people, or not just towards people. And the people who are not rich, they have to abide by the law. But the person who is rich or have some money or some influence, they do not have to abide by the law. And that is not fair. And that's not equal. And so for us as Muslims, we are encouraged, again, in chapter 4, the 135th verse, O believers, stand firm for justice and bear true witness for the sake of Allah, even though it be against yourselves, your parents, your relatives. It does not matter whether the party is rich or poor. There's one time a lady had, during the time of the prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, a lady had stole something. I think it was a necklace she stole. And she was like the upper crest rich person. And so some of the people that knew her, they knew that if she stole this bracelet or this item, and that in Islam you get your hand cut off. If it's been proven that it, and it's a certain amount of money that you actually took this thing, then you get your hand cut off. I know people say, oh, that's barbaric, but just think how much it would keep people from taking things that don't belong to them. Even people go to jail, they get back out and they do the same thing over and over and over again. So from the Islamic perspective, then if a person steals something, then they cut off and it's proven that they stole the thing, and it wasn't because they were hungry or anything like that. They just stole it because it was conveniently located. They could steal it. Then they get their hand chopped off. Now, this woman, she stole. And so what happened is that some of the people, her relatives or friends, they went to one of the companions of the prophet because they knew it was going to happen to her, and they appealed to him. And to the friend of the prophet, and he said, can you go to the prophet and basically convince him not to cut the hand of this uppity woman, or this rich woman, or upper class woman? And so the guy, a companion did go to the prophet and made the appeal on a woman's behalf. And so the prophet, he turned to the man and he basically said to him, if my daughter Fatima, if she stole something, I would cut her hand off. Because what happens in Islam, it doesn't matter. Again, even if this person, we have to stand up for justice, even against ourselves, our parents, or our relatives. It does not matter whether the party is rich or poor, as the verse said earlier. And so he made it clear, look, I don't care who this person was. The law of Islam is the law of Islam and applies to everyone that's rich or poor. And so if his own daughter stole something, then he would cut off her hand. Now, maybe all Muslims will not fight for justice, but we are supposed to do so. Now, in chapter 8, verse 5, it says, your Rabb, meaning your Lord, ordered you to leave your home to fight for justice. But some of the believers were reluctant. So understand, yes, we as Muslims, we are supposed to fight for justice and to stand up against justice, but all of us may not end up doing that. If you decide for yourself to become Muslim, and anyone can become Muslim, and you don't do so, okay, you chose not to do so. But if you choose to fight for justice, then you fight for justice. Also, you may know Muslims that maybe don't stand up against injustice. Okay, that's their choice. But there are a lot of Muslims in the world, and of course they don't get highlighted, that they do stand up against injustice. We have an organization amongst the Muslim, which is one of the largest Islamic civil rights organization, called CAIR. C-A-I-R, CAIR. And they really push for stand up for justice. And that's for Muslim and for non-Muslims. This is a great organization, and that's what they do. Now, let's read another verse, which is from chapter 7, the 199th verse. That's chapter 7, the 199th verse. And it says, show forgiveness, speak for justice, and avoid ignorance. Again, show forgiveness, speak for justice, and avoid the ignorant. So here we are again asked or requested or commanded to speak for justice. And it doesn't matter if the individual who is experiencing the injustice, if they are a Muslim or a non-Muslim, it does not matter. If a person is experiencing injustice, then we as Muslims, we are supposed to stand up against injustice. No matter who it is against, and no matter where we are, this is what we're supposed to do. And that's the mandate from our Lord, from Allah, that we stand up for justice. We forbid injustice and we encourage justice. Also, one of the companions of the prophet, he said, there's a sadaqah, meaning a charity, to be given to every joint of the human body for every day on which the sun rises. There is a reward of tzedakah, meaning a charity gift, for the one who establishes justice amongst people. That even for, if we want to get some charity, we can get that through just simply establishing justice amongst the people. This is one of the ways that we can contribute towards the world and change the world for the better, is that we help to establish justice within the world. And that's what I had mentioned earlier about the prophet. And he said it didn't matter that he was rich or poor. It did not matter. And if his very daughter was to steal, he would not make some distinguish, a demarcation between her and her and anyone else, and say, oh, it's my daughter, I'm not going to do this to her because she's my flesh and blood. No. Equality is equality. And if she stole, this is what would happen to her. And same thing for this lady who was rich, who stole the necklace, then the same thing would happen to her, is that she would get what everyone else would get. If they're rich or poor, it does not matter. Also, it is said by another companions of the prophet, I heard a messenger of Allah say, whoever among you sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. If he cannot, then with his tongue. If he cannot, then with his heart. And that is the weakest of faith. In other words, if we see some wrong going on in the world, we are to try to change it, at least with our hands. And if that is difficult to do, to change it with our hands, then we at least speak out against it. It's wrong. It's not right. Give that person back what belongs to them, or don't take such and such a thing from this individual. And we cannot able to do that and change it with our tongue, then we at least don't like it and change it in our heart. And that is the lowest form of faith. It's faith, but it's the lowest form of faith. The stronger and the most highest form of faith is to change it with our hand. Then you have, I guess I will call the medium, is to say something with our tongue. But the lowest form, and it's still faith, is that as the least hated in our heart. Because if you don't hate it in your heart, it's going to do nothing but blossom. It's like you're saying, okay, that's their problem, not my problem, just let it go. You're not hating it in your heart. You're not hating it at all. So at the very least, know that this thing is wrong and you dislike it. Now, what are some of the rewards for being just and the punishment for not being just? One of the companions of the prophet said, if anyone seeks the office of judge amongst Muslims till he gets it and his justice prevails over his tyranny, he will go to paradise. But the man whose tyranny prevails over his justice will go to hell. And so it is clear that the best thing for a person to do, that you're going to be a judge, or you want to establish justice in the world, if you do so, that your justice overshadows you being hard against people and being unjust against people, your place will be paradise. But if your injustice, your tyranny, prevails over your justice, then your place will be in the hellfire. And it's also mentioned by another companion. He said, Uthman exhorted that the people to acquire two habits, namely the habit to speak the truth and the habit to do good. So we as Muslims, we are encouraged to do good and we are encouraged to speak the truth. It doesn't matter who we're speaking to, we speak the truth. That is one another mandate of the Muslim. One is that we seek justice and establish justice in the world. And the other one is to speak the truth. Now, also another companion, he said, abide by truthfulness. For indeed, truthfulness leads to righteousness. And indeed, righteousness leads to paradise. A person continues telling the truth and trying hard to tell the truth until it is recorded with Allah as a truth teller. This individual is recorded by Allah as a truth-telling person. Refrain from falsehood, for indeed falsehood leads to wickedness, and wickedness leads to the fire. A slave of Allah continues lying and trying hard to lie until he is recorded with Allah as a liar. So we are encouraged to speak the truth, to always tell the truth, so we will be recorded with Allah as a truthful person. But if we always tell the lie and always spreading bad words about people and always spreading falsehood amongst the people and wickedness amongst the people, it is only going to lead us to the fire. And then it says a slave of Allah continues lying and trying hard to lie until he is recorded with Allah as a liar. And no one wanted to be recorded with Allah as a liar. Now, let me tell you some truth. And what I'm going to get ready to say to you is some historical truth. And you may also, if you listen to me other places in the world, you may also be able to grasp some truth from your society. And some people can tell you one thing in society, but you know that is not the true history of that particular society. Let me make it a little bit clearer. A few years ago in Orlando, Florida, we have a massacre they said that this was the worst massacre in the history of America. That this guy who they say was a Muslim, and that he went into this particular club and he shot up the people and killed a lot of people inside the club. And then they claimed that this was the worst massacre or killing in the history of the U.S. Now, do your research. Is that true that this was the worst one? Sure, it was bad. It was terrible. All those people got killed, and it was wrong. But was it the worst one in history, or the worst killing or violence in history? In 1917, at least 100 African Americans in East South St. Louis, they were shot, burnt, and clubbed to death. 250 Indian men, women, and children were massacred at Wounded Knee by the United States government. And they also issued blankets to the Indians that contained a smallpox disease, which killed even more of them. In 1868, 300 African Americans were massacred in Louisiana by whites only because they wanted the right to vote. In 1919, Arkansas, 854 people were massacred. In 1921, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you had 300 to 3,000 African Americans massacred or killed. In 1923, Rosewood, 150 African Americans were killed. Tens of thousands of African Americans were lynched just here in America. Also, the separation of families is not something new in America. It started during the time of its darkest history, during the enslavement of Africans brought to America as slaves. The slave owners would often separate children from their families and sell and resell African slaves. While other groups of people have received reparations, until this day, reparations are still owed to the descendants of African slaves. So my students, when you hear someone saying that this is the worst or was the worst killing that ever happened in America, do your homework and do your research and see if this is true. And that's now, that was yesterday, that's today, and that's tomorrow. Do your homework and see if it is true that it was the worst one that ever happened in America. Or when they say something is the worst, or something is this or that, do your homework and prove and say it's true for yourself if what they're saying is true. Because they say it may not be true. And so we, as Muslims, we're supposed to speak the truth and not be afraid to stand up for justice and encourage what is right and forbidding what is wrong. And so we have to always speak the truth. Now, I'm going to move on to the next topic, and that is also we are not to be apologized. I had an African-American politician. He apologized for African-American who did some kind of crime. And he said this, like, basically he was apologizing on behalf of the African-American race. No, this individual, he did that crime. And same thing for Muslims, that we don't go around and we shouldn't be going around apologizing because a particular Muslim committed a particular crime. Because it says one ayat in Quran, a verse in Quran, and this is verse 33. This is chapter 33, the 37th verse, and it says that no bearer of a burden shall bear the burden of another. And that's in chapter 33 and the 37th verse. That is, no bearer of a burden shall bear the burden of another. And so that means that we don't go around apologizing. I'm laying some truth to you. We don't apologize because someone else did a crime. I did not commit that crime. And so I am not apologizing to anyone because someone else committed that crime. That's on them. I am not going to carry their burden no more. I'm carrying my burden. And so that means that the responsibility of one person's negative behavior cannot be transferred to another unless he has a share in the commission of that particular action. Okay, so therefore, no matter how many others may want us to do or have a need to apologize for wrongful act, we do not apologize for wrongful act of someone else. That person committed the crime, and that person should have to stand up on their own feet and bear the burden of the crime they committed. I want to read another verse, and it says, and it's going to be this quickly. I'm going to read this verse. And it says, O you who believe, have taqwa, meaning piety of Allah, and always speak the truth. He will direct you to do righteous good deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and has indeed achieved a great achievement or achieved victory. And so, my beautiful students, please, stand up for justice and always speak the truth. That is the mandate of a Muslim that we're supposed to do, and that we speak the truth, and that we are just. And no matter who the person is, we tell them the truth. And no matter who the person is, we stand up for justice for each and every individual. And so I encourage us to be truthful and to be just. You have been listening to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I have been your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum.